We're glad that you're here today and that you will be challenged by God's holy word. Yes, he is. And we're not going to detain you too long because we're going to, after the benediction, somebody's going to pray for the food. And because I haven't ate since yesterday, and I'm hungry. I'm not more hungry and could eat a hide off of a bear. So you know how those hyenas is hungry. You know, you got to feed those hungry hyenas. Go on, preach, brother. All right. Thank you. Wow. Subject today, a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope. We have hope. We're not like most men of miserable. We have hope, beloved. That's if you receive Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to turn with us in the gospel according to St. Luke. I got it right. Not St. Matthew, St. Luke. I'm getting better because my... Okay, and it came to pass, verse 2, King James Version, and it came to pass in those days that, wait a minute, don't have it right here. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel of multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they have seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen, and as it were told unto them. May the Lord would bless and edify the reading of his word. Let us depend on God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for what thus saith the Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we share and preach and study this narrative, that it would be dear to us and be more precious to us, and that we can get something out of this message that will equip us and prepare us into thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. A thrill of hope, and the prepositional phrase or the aim now, this message is bringing goodness that will cause great joy and hope. And this announcement of the Messiah was more than just a thrill, to say the least. It was a message from heaven of praise, of joy, and hope, because in that time of history, you must understand, there was no real peace in that neck of the woods in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem. It was, you see, the only peace or so-called peace was the Roman peace, and that was no peace. That was oppression. Many Jews were, you know, at that time, was looking for a politically leader from this Roman oppression. That's what they was looking for. They was looking for a savior,
they had looked for many saviors
and hoping for a savior from from the hostilities of the Roman Empire, physical hardship that they endured, economical relief of woes, this iron fist government, and relieve us from some type of sickness that we have. Many of our people are sick and in physical ruins. But the announcement, the true Savior who would deliver them from their sins and death and the works of the devil, that was who came up on the scene to their dismay. A little babe lying in a manger. A little babe lying in a manger. That was the antidote. That he was the remedy to be. Because Matthew's account says, Mary shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from his sins. Prior to this announcement, there was fear that came upon these shepherds that the angelic host came and they encountered. And they were terrified, wouldn't you be? Catching off guard, a host of heavenly angels coming and speak to you directly. Terrified. And they were no different than any other as they were confronted by God and angels. And God's response was always the same. And he tell us the same. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So the Lord came to other people in the past. He came to Abe, we known as Abraham, but Abe, in a vision saying, "Fear not, Abe, I am thy shield. I am your shield." He spoke to Abraham. And then another occasion, the Lord told Joshua, "Fear not, Joshua, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, Joshua, and rise up and go up to Ai, and see, I have given unto your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." So God has profoundly spoken to many of his servants, to many of his patriarchs in past. The bottom line, friends, as they sense that God accept them and communicate with them, their fear subsided. Our fear subsided. So the angels was baffled. They were terrified. Now look at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here, this helpless Savior, the Lord is there with these humble shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He will be the Messiah. He will be a Messiah to all the people, not just a few, but to the whole world. This is what the angel Gabriel was telling them in this humble servant that was to come in this world. And Paul reminds us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, this is how humble Jesus Christ came in this
cow shed or this stable. Though he was rich, yet his poverty might be rich in us. It is through Jesus Christ that we are more than conquerors to them that love him. Can you imagine the scene as he was born in a plain, pleasant village among shepherds and the angels and the bright lights in the skies with the animals and birds and all the rest? His first lullaby. He made himself nothing, the Bible says. While still God, with his attributes, omniscience and omnipotence, he did not cling to the privilege of deity. What an astonishing thought. So we see here 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe, these are the shepherds that's looking, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And you know, verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Praising God. Innumerable number of angels. This was a heavenly Savior. He was from heaven, as the bread from heaven, or as manna from heaven, because he was to become the heavenly Savior for the whole world as an unspeakable gift to us. He was to rule. This babe was to reign, and he was to reconcile us back to God from the works of the devil and his fallen kingdom. Bring us back from the power of death and someday as a King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why he came. Don't miss the idea of all the tinsels and the wrapping paper and the festivities and the Santa Clauses and all the rest. But Christmas at that night is about a newborn king. Don't miss it. Don't miss Christmas. And he brought forth a splendor from heavens, and he was full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. That's what we need today. We need to be people filled with grace and truth. And I'm told that there will be no need to preach in heaven, as I just said, but there will be plenty of praise and worship, because we see it here in our text. Glory to God. Angels that you, so many angels, two-thirds of the angels, maybe, you never know. Insurmountable. Praising, verse 14, praising to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What an excitement. What an enthusiasm. But there will be plenty of praise in heaven. And notice verse 13 and 14. And suddenly there was angels in heaven, hosts praising God. They were singing glory, really glory, hallelujah. This great company from heaven, they were praising God. And these shepherds experienced from humbleness to heavenliness and everything in between. Jesus, you know, Jesus could have come as a king and royalty. He could have had a palace, but he did not choose that way. He chose two lowly servants, Mary and Joseph, didn't he?
But he chose instead to be born in a poor, lowly manger. And let us keep in mind, during the birth of Christ, the duties of the shepherds. They were classified as unclean. What about you and I? Our righteousness in God's sight is still as filthy as rags, isn't it? They were marginalized, not even fit for official ceremonies in the temple. Yes, that's what God chose to start Christianity with. They wasn't accepted in the temple and were labeled again unclean. Yet, they were likely guardsmen, temple organizing the flock for sacrifice. And they would supply the sacrificial system at Jerusalem. They had a role. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away of sin for us. God used these people as instrumental in his plan of redemption. Okay. So, and yet God used these humble ambassadors to be the first to tell the message of salvation. Did you know that? Humble shepherds. What about you and I? Are we humble today? Can God use us? And it was hastened to see the baby, and then they told a few people. They told everybody. What about you and I? Are we propelling, are we propagating the gospel? Are we telling everybody in our circles what we heard and what we've seen about Jesus Christ? They were like Peter and John in Acts, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that's what those shepherds did. They revolutionized their settings. Look at verse 15, 16, and 17 quickly. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They describe, the narrative describes this delegation of men, of shepherds, as the first converts. Listen, as the first converts to the message as they responded to what they believed and were obedient. Are you and I obedient? Now, what about you and I? We need to heed the challenge. If we get anything out of this message, we need to heed the challenge. As in verse 18, quotes, and all these who heard it marveled, surprised, hearing. They marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. Unclean, unfit people, God used. They could not be quiet.
I used to be around a Christian when I was unconverted, as my grandma say. And if this girl was on my school bus, she would not take no for an answer about me receiving Christ. And every single day, have you seen Jesus today? I wanted to say, yes, I have. But she would not be quiet. And we need to not be quiet when it comes to eternal life things and telling people the Messiah, Jesus is here. Jesus can save. And Jesus saves and all the rest. They would not be quiet. Let us never forget we have the privilege to tell the event of the Messiah. In our case, he died and resurrected and everything. He's the Lamb of God now. But at this time, he was the Messiah. We need to tell somebody what has happened to us. The shepherds enjoyed the thrill of hope to others as they retold the good news, the message. And they rejoiced in the message. They returned the message to others. And that's all is four spiritual laws or evangelism, explosion, or whatever. Romans wrote, that's what it is. It's just telling what Jesus means to you and what he's done for you and I. And that's the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of Christmas, what we must, it's to go and tell the good news. And you know, to wrap this up, Mary, the Bible says, look at verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I got a little article I'd like to share. You know, someone defined to ponder is this, quote, just leave it for now. It will come to you later. He encouraged them to ponder the issues and allow God to reveal the truth in them. And I thought that's what pondering is. Is to ponder something is concentrate and think deeply about it. And that's precisely what Mary did. She was thinking. And she was, after the events leading to the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, followed by the appearance of the angels and the shepherds who came to the Messiah, Mary treasured up those things and pondered them in her heart. It means to throw together, to confer, to put one thing on another, considering the circumstances, end of quote. Mary pondered these things in her heart. You know, sometimes we put our hopes and our dreams in the wrong source and perspective, don't we? And recently, experts have named this digital phenomenon dream scrolling. A survey conducted by OnePoll indicates that the average United States smartphone user uses dream scrolls more than 2 hours a day. The image that tantalizes our hearts invite us to the hopes to believe that if we just had just one thing, we would all be good. But to the contrast, the Bible don't say that. In fact, 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, "In God's great mercy, He has given us a new birth." That's what it's called, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Our hearts should not be on some dream scrolling that we spend 2 hours a day on. Friends, we have a living hope and an everlasting life of inheritance. Right now, the Bible says. And theologian Ray Steckham wrote, quote, here is hope of heaven. He says, a place in eternity that is already reserved for believers in Jesus. We not only have a living hope for the future and eternity, but we have power right now, he says, today when we focus on Christ and set our affections and desires on him, the things of this world will lose their appeal. I leave with you. So go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for that more than sentimental message about glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. In Jesus' precious name, amen.